we could move on to long-term care. In that case, project updates regarding long-term care.
Is that me?
I think so.
Okay. As we talked about in our last board meeting, we've been exploring whether we can use a local long-term care facility that's already in service to try to expand and build on it. We think there's a reasonable likelihood we can pull that off. If we do that, we would need to lift in the fall. And while we're working on that, we're also trying to clarify sort of the array of things that the long-term care task force originally recommended. You know, the not only providing improved assisted living options, including for like Medicaid patients, but, you know, also a care coordination, a home for care coordination, and some of those other things that we'd like to see accomplished. You know, the care coordination grant is going well, but the problem has always been sustainability. The reimbursement is something like $90 a visit. Not only are you not making money, you're losing money. And it's an important program, so we need to figure out how to make sure that lasts. And we also need to figure out how to take care of people that can't afford $4,000 a month, even though that's actually not an unreasonable rate for a private pay system. It's an awful lot of money. So the board tasked Gail and Trish to work with me on that project. And we do have some information to discuss in executive session. But Trish, Commissioner Seitz and Commissioner Lehman, do either of you want to make a report on this, or do you want to task me with reporting on anything specific?
Well, I would say that times are really even tougher than we've talked about here in our meetings. I just, since launching this project, I'm listening a lot closer. I mean, every day somebody needs a facility, a Medicaid bed, and I'm listening to people say they call every facility off island nearby between Skagit and Whatcom, and they don't find anybody who will take a memory care client or a Medicaid client unless you want to pay 2 years out of pocket. That's what they're asking, pay 2 years out of pocket to get a Medicaid bed, and families don't have that. So I know this is actually, the truth is, our like first step of this is just really a drop in the bucket of what the needs are. Also, somebody told me today 10,000 facilities in Washington State have closed. That may be a high number, but the truth is there are a lot of long-term care facilities closing. I have found out that on Skagit, my coworker, who has the same job as me in Skagit, has not been able to find a caregiver for a client, even with all the home care agencies there, for a year, because the home care agencies have lost so many care workers that there's been no new care workers available to people. So she has a list of 20 people on a wait list waiting for care, even though the facilities are there. And if there were care workers, they could get state money to pay for it. So the problem is bigger than we've even talked about. I didn't realize that really Skagit and Whatcom are exactly in the same shape as we are, or worse, because they don't have even the list of private caregivers or the kind of philanthropy that we have here that might help to pay for somebody going through training or to support our workers. So it is a crucial time in our county to do something and to support what we can here. So that's just what I'm putting out there. And I do think some of the ideas we've come up with have been really great and really could launch a program that's going to really help our island. And it's also going to be a blueprint to help our county as well. and we may be a forerunner in helping to find solutions to a problem that's going on around the state. And the potential of connecting our care coordination grant to this is also great, because I think the solution to this whole problem comes with an agency partnering with caregivers going into homes. So, because it's not just a home care agency, but maybe a long-term care facility that is using workers in a number of ways and can send them out to people's homes as well. So I think we could be creating a model that is really, really an exciting possibility to solve these problems in our state. So I'll just say that.
Yeah, and just a point of clarification, I think you mentioned 10,000 facilities, but maybe, did you mean 10,000 beds? I think 10,000 licensed beds have closed.
There are lots of facilities closing. Maybe that's how many beds in the facilities. Makes sense.
Yeah, there aren't 10,000 facilities in Washington State. Yeah,
that
didn't
seemed like
I was
like, somebody
said
that.
No, there's a lot of facilities have closed, but I think it's 10,000 beds that we have lost, which is huge, because I think that that's maybe close to a third of the beds available. So that means skilled nursing, if you imagine a third of those beds have closed in our state, and with the growing population of 10,000 people turning 65 every day right now, it's nuts. So yes, we are. I mean, it's beyond urgent, and I'm delighted that we are in the, you know, we have maybe a plan that could very well work for our island and our county. So yes, okay. Medicaid beds are just enormous, because not everybody, think about it. If you've got really the going rate's about $9,000-$10,000 for a skilled nursing facility, $9,000-$10,000 a month. And imagine that you have to have 2 years worth of money to cover you before they'll even take you and admit you into the facility, because you have to be able to spend that money, and then you could qualify under their protocol for Medicaid. So
unreachable for hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I tell people is the only way you're going to get a bed is when you get injured, when you fall and you go to the hospital, and the hospital has to discharge you, and the hospitals push a lot harder on these facilities to find them something sooner. But that's a terrible thing to think about. Oh, your loved one's just gonna end up in the hospital somehow, and that's what's gonna help get them into facility. It's just a sad reality.
Mm-hmm. Because what could happen is that person could go into the nursing home under a Medicare Part A benefit after a broken hip, and they qualify for skilled nursing, so they get to get a Medicare bed, and then they've now no longer qualify for their Medicare benefit, and that facility might say to them, well, we don't have a Medicaid bed, since you know, if you don't have the private funds, you can't stay in this facility any longer. And
what I see is the bigger problem is you're talking about all these people that want to go in facilities. For every person that's in a facility, there are probably three people who want to stay at home and who are willing to pay for somebody to allow them to stay at home. That's the much bigger number of people in our county who are concerned about long-term care. They're not the ones that are dying to go to a facility. They're the ones who are willing to pay to stay at home. That's where the bang for the buck is, actually, more so than a facility.
Well, and the facility, but our partnership could help with that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying the facility isn't important. It is less important than addressing the larger number of people who want to stay at home but can't, because there's nobody who's willing to work for them.
Well, not safety-wise, though. Those Medicaid beds are about safety. These people are not safe in their home, and they're staying at home because they can't get a bed in a facility. That's pretty scary for our whole county, because they can start a fire in their house.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the people who want to stay at home, who can stay at home, but they can't find the caregivers that allow them to stay at home. The caregivers that they're willing to or able to pay $10 or $20 an hour for, but they can't even find them. I mean, you get a real bang for your buck for if you could do that. So I mean, it's a huge problem in that goes across the spectrum from a facility to the people who work in the facility to the people.
Yes, and I'm going to chime in because this is the work we've been doing on the planning grant. We've been doing this and addressing these issues. So you are right on. I agree 100%. And just know that these are the issues in the planning grant that we are looking at, because you're right.
You know what? The only thing
that
bothers
go into the home.
Yes, but you know what bothers me is that we talk about spending money on a facility. I have not heard a proposal for spending money on people to help people not in a facility, which I think is the larger number.
Oh, I have.
Well, we are. Mickey Vandasso at the Economic Development Council, where he just got a grant from the CCC for training. For there is a plan in place actually for high school students to enter this program and then hopefully work their way up. They're working on it with Randy Martin through Skagit Valley Community College so that there could be a place for them to start in high school to become a caregiver and then work their way up to LPN, RN, respiratory therapist, whatever they might want to go into. But yes, Everett, we actually have some beginnings of that and are working on that. And we're working on the other issue with that, which is affordable housing. So I'd love to
see that. One of the,
how much is a PhD planning to spend on that?
So here's the deal. One of the things we're doing is our plan includes paying workers better and giving them insurance. And those are two things that keep workers in the profession and then bring more people into the profession. So people are leaving the profession in droves because it's so stressful. They don't have insurance. They don't get paid well. And so they're leaving that. And it's also a dangerous profession. It's a hard profession. With COVID and everything, it became more dangerous, more challenging. So the idea is to build the workforce. And then, of course, when you build the workforce, you need places to live, so that all ties together. But that workforce that we could create with our plan would help people in their homes as well. That's the whole point, is to create a big enough workforce that can work in a facility but also go out to people's homes and be a partnership in the community for both of those things to happen. I think you get burnt out if you're just going to people's homes by yourself with no team, nobody backing you up, and you're day after day you're doing stuff that you don't understand, that's hard for you. You burn out and you quit. If you have a team that you're working with, if you have people that are training you and helping you with all the pieces of it, you feel a lot more supported and you'll stay in the profession longer or move on to even a nurse, you know, nursing position or something beyond that as well, or management. So that's the idea, is to promote a ladder. And now EDC really understands that you want to promote people moving up the ladder too, who have other skills that can really help at the administrative levels too, and at the think tank levels and everything. So it's all about support for workers as well.
Well, and that's my point, that you're right. I mean, you can't just have those people go out. They need to be vetted. They need to have background checks. They need to be trained. They need to be part of a team. I mean, that takes a lot more organization. Who's going to provide the organization? Why? I mean, that needs...
That facility already provides that to workers, but it can be enhanced with more time for them to provide it. More time. They, instead of spending all their time trying to find enough workers to even be there to fill their slots, if they have more of a safety net, they're going to spend more time. They do trainings already at that facility. They can do more trainings and they can create that sort of, they do that, create that environment of support. So just enhancing that to go out into the community as well, I think. It's definitely a creative project of, you know, about using what we have and enhancing it.
Right. And it's also baby steps. There's no, you know, it's like one of the things that, We certainly did lob around, you know, in the planning stage of the planning grant is, you know, could we have some kind of a business like a home health care agency, and it could work for the county. We've already recognized that that's not going to work. But, you know, that's why we have to kind of do things within, you know, each area where San Juan Island is going to work on something. We're going to support each other and maybe utilize similar structures, but Lopez will do what they need to do. San Juan Island will do what we need to do. Orcas Island will do what they need to do. But what we realize is it's baby steps. There's no big, like, yes, we're going to create this giant agency and we're going to have all these people and it's just going to be la-di-da, great. I think what we did realize is, you know, that having a licensed, certified home health agency is probably not practical at this time, but taking the baby steps, building the workforce within the structure of, you know, a current business that already exists, coupled with the EDC and their training program, you know, I think is a great beginning.
Well, again, like I say, is I've heard plans. We're talking about spending money on acquiring a facility, which, like I say, addresses maybe a third or less of the people who actually need to be addressed. And that, to me, is the problem, is that I haven't heard. I mean, that's a very concrete plan, looking to spend the money on that. I would like to hear a similar concrete plan where we actually spend money to bring people people who are working at the facility are probably not going to be working in other people's homes. I mean, how are we going to? Yeah, well,
they
They certainly could. And they certainly.
It's all about baby steps. Yeah.
Yeah, they have actually. The people that currently work there have also had private clients. Most places in the islands. Facilities, Hamlet House, certainly on Lopez, people work there and people have private clients. They go, you know, so they spend some hours here and they spend some hours there. Same thing has happened with the facility we're working with. There is a three-stage plan. I don't know if Nathan has shared that, but there is a plan that moves down the steps. We just can't do every step at once. That is the truth. We're trying to, we have to build.
Yeah, I outlined that plan and forwarded it to you all last week. It's got, you know, phase one would be the acquisition. I mean, there's the acquisition of a facility is certainly part of it. But, you know, there's a common misunderstanding that facilities are super expensive. They're actually not. You tend to, and you pay it out over a long period of time. I mean, last year, we were paying $110,000 a year on our facility. The rest of the money is personnel is your biggest expense. And then, you know, materials and supplies. So even in our plan, when we're working on the math for it, by far and away the largest expenses are going to be on people. It's just not even close. You know, but basically the phased plans were, you know, you would acquire a facility, you would try to, you know, immediately do some expansion of Medicaid beds, you would invest in worker wages and benefits. You would have a care coordination program as a part of that, which is trying to help people age in place. And that program would need to have some limitations. Like the goal isn't to provide 24/7 care to people in their homes. It's actually terribly inefficient to put eight people on one person to keep them at home for 24/7 care long-term. But the goal would be, you know, a few hours a week giving people care at home so that they can avoid the expense and disruption of being moved to a facility. And all of these things have to work together, right? I mean, they're all connected. We can't afford to build a huge facility. We've got to keep people out of the facility as much as possible. But you still need a facility. I mean, it's all connected. And by far and away, the most significant cost will be people, because people are the ones that do the work. That's always the case.
Well, so I never suggested it was an either or. What I suggested was it sounded like only one thing, which we were talking about a facility. And yes, I understand that, you know, when you provide all those benefits for a person, why do they want to go work somewhere else? Unless you're setting the bar a lot higher for people, for private pay people, for the people who want to live at home. Actually, that's what's going to happen. And so unless we're planning to, and I'm not suggesting that we take care of people at home 24/7, but rather that maybe they just go into somebody's house for an hour or 2 hours, not every day, that sort of thing. I understand that. We just went through something like that here at my house. And but what happens when you establish a facility, you have benefits, better wages, what happens to that majority of people who are actually living at home and want to hire people? Now you've raised the bar. Where are those people coming from? I said, why wouldn't they be working at the facility? That's why they'd be working at the facility, because of wages and benefits. So you actually kind of create a black hole there.
Well, that's why you have to pay people in a medium wage. You're not paying them $25 to $35 an hour, which is what private caregivers get. You're paying them, you're just improving their situation. They're still at maybe the starter level of care, but they're able to, support themselves better than they could. So I don't see private caregivers who are making $25 to $35 an hour wanting to necessarily come to the facility to work, because they would still have, you know, there's an independence there. There's a lot more. There's a lot of differences between the two situations. So I just think it would promote a workforce development. People that wouldn't be in the field might come into the field knowing that they have there's some benefits to doing it, as opposed to, pouring espresso, which might, pay them more with tips an hour. So that kind of thing, competing with the low wage jobs that are already on the island and making a little better life for people.
Well, I know that right now there's a real shortage of people for private pay. Just they can't find people. And that's even at good, those kind of wages. And so what I'm talking about is that we would probably have to, what happens when you have somebody, excuse me, who lives at home or wants to live at home, and they couldn't pay more than say $10 an hour, and there's no chance they're going to compete at $10 an hour, but they would be living at home, not asking to live in the facility, not asking to have 24/7. They don't need that, but they need some. What's the plan to take care of them? And I mean, how are we planning to take money to make it possible? Can we supplant some care workers? Can we give that person who's working for a private pay, can we give them benefits? What are we going to do for those? Because they're not going to go to our facility.
My understanding is the facility sort of provides an umbrella for our workforce. And then we can bring them in as county employees. We can subsidize wages. We can provide benefits. And then we can provide training. So those employees maybe they work at the facility some, but also some of them are out in the field. So it gives us more options and it gives us the ability to create a larger workforce under one administrative umbrella.
Okay.
I think that that's where we're headed. The foundation of the facility is where we're beginning with these long-term goals in the future, to where we have resources available to people in our community so they can age in place. So we can assess needs and determine what services people need to support them in their home. And then if it does become that they need to be in a facility, that we have a facility that is there for them as well. I think that this is pretty progressive, rather innovative. I think that we're really trying to get in front of a problem that we're all looking at as a potential emergency here very soon. And I understand that, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of investment to make this happen, but I think we have community partners that are excited about this idea and are willing to work with us. And I think that Trish and Gail and Nathan have done a lot of hard work to get us to this place. And I'm really inspired. I know that it's right now just like talking about acquiring a facility and making it a public property, just like the EMS property is, you know, is the first step. And then developing an administration and a workforce is the next step. And then developing a framework to support people in their homes is the step beyond that. And who knows what it could be? I mean, we could have respite care. We could have adult daycare. I mean, there are so many caregivers that can't address their own needs, can't go to their own doctor's appointments, can't go grocery shopping because they have someone that they need to keep an eye on. And if there was a place where people could, you know that their loved one was fine for a few hours, and we could create that for our community, it's, you know, and maybe it coincides with daycare of another sort. You know, we have a lot of options. We have all these studies that we've done. We have the surveys. We know what the needs are. I think we owe it to our community to try.
I don't disagree. And so how much money is that going to take? Or are we going to do that in stages? Ask just for the money for a facility and then ask for money for people second?
I think we had proposed going out for a lid lift to provide for aging in place and long-term care. And that's something that we need to continue to work on.
We also have been creating partners with people that have private funding to donate as well. So there's a lot of potential because people want to solve this problem, and there's a lot of money in this community to support that too. So we have lots of options too, and we can talk more in the executive session about details.
About pricing. Yeah, I don't really want to discuss pricing in a public session. Not yet. The key here is we're putting together a plan that relies on public money so we can go out for a lid lift. But if we're able to leverage the private money that we hope to leverage and that we're working on, you know, we can accomplish more. And we basically have like flex goals in there. Like if we're able to raise money for this, then maybe we can also provide adult daycare. We have these other things we can accomplish if we can secure money. But we need a plan that is self-contained on its own to start with, and then we can expand that. But you know, we're going to want a care coordination type program to help people in their homes right away, because we can never build enough rooms, right? And this is not realistic. The goal is to try to keep people in their homes as much as possible. And then, it also allows you to release people from a facility earlier than you might otherwise, because you can follow up with them. Allows you to provide the sort of wider array of things. So Commissioner Lehman and Commissioner Seitz and I are working up, and we'll meet soon to go over some pretty detailed analysis and proposal. I know Commissioner Clary, the details are, you know, we don't have all the answers to your questions, and we would like to, but you know, we are working on that, and there's quite a bit of material already, but it's just not quite ready to be pushed out. And I think we can give answers to those questions, exactly where money is going to be spent and how. And we need to do that to justify the levy rate that we're going to ask for. We're going to be asking, if we go forward with this, we're going to be asking the public for a lot of money. We're going to need to be able to justify that, to be able to say, you know, here's why and here's what it's going to go to.
I'll try to be quiet until then.
But I think
they're good questions and they need to be asked. And we do need to really be sure that we're proposing something that is valuable and is, that we can show our accountability. So thank you, Everett.
Certainly the beauty is having an established business that already has the licensing to provide services is huge. If you started one from scratch, you'd have to wait 3 years to have one Medicaid bed. So the fact that we have a business that's already started, it can be essentially a home care agency. It can help facilitate people being trained and people being booked for seeing people in their homes. It can help with the care coordination grant amazingly because it's already set up for caring for people and reaching out to people. So, you know, there's a lot of advantages to starting with something that's not from scratch.
I will say this, it's a long proposal and the integration proposal is long. Next week, you're going to be receiving well over 20 to 30 pages of complex documents. I think we should plan on meeting to talk this through. And, you know, I think we should have that conversation, and then we need to have an executive session conversation about costing, and we are running out of time.
Yeah, true. So do we have availability for next week for people? Is Wednesday a possibility for a meeting?
What's the date on that? The 21st?
Probably we shouldn't meet earlier than the 21st. I just don't know if we'll be ready. It should be the 21st, the 24th, somewhere in there.
We can't meet on the 24th. The 23rd I could meet on. The 21st, the 23rd, can't meet on the 24th, can't meet on the 25th, 26th, 27th.
Yeah, that's the thing with me. I'm leaving town on the 23rd, and I'll be back for our meeting on the 28th. The financial is we move to the 28th too. Oh, okay. Because I'll be gone.
Oh, we're doing that in the morning on that Wednesday. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I can do the 23rd.
Yeah, I can.
Kyle?
As long as it's in the morning or afternoon, because I'm leaving 6:30 or something on the 6:30 ferry.
Trish or Kyle, do you have any availability?
I could do the 23rd, preferably after work hours, though, which doesn't quite match up with Commissioner Clary's.
Well,
maybe 21st. He's going to be gone by the 20. Are you going to be around Everett on the 21st? It's Wednesday.
Well, I'll be around on the 21st, and I was going to say I could be present via phone on the 23rd, probably for the first couple hours.
What if we plan to take this up on the 28th, and we started looking at the 29th or 30th as a follow up? Just to make sure, because Superintendent Butler mentioned that we might not have the information. It wasn't clear if it would actually truly be available till the 24th. And this has been a nice introductory conversation, but we haven't had any information to discuss for the last 45 minutes, you know? So I feel like the next time we should have that.
I think I'm the only one. We will have the integration information by the 21st for sure. The long-term care information, we will have quite a lot for your review by the 21st, but whether we have, you know, a number for an acquisition, I don't know. The one hitch is with integration, the fire district needs time to agree to whatever we agree to. So we need to make a decision on integration on the 28th. The long-term care,
which is why we should have had the information they're giving to their commissioners right now. I'm very confused on that process.
So Chief Collins just finished that work, I think, yesterday. I do think it's reasonable for him to want the backing of his board. I would want the backing of my board if I was taking information to them. And that information
would. But I thought you were working on this with him. I thought you two were working on this and bringing it back to each of us, and then we were talking about it. I'm sorry, I'm really frustrated by that. I can't fathom why we're not doing this together. It seems like we're back in the old pattern.
Because we asked him to do a joint budget.
We did ask him to do that.
Yeah, everything was joint. It was all supposed to be information that was being prepared together, and it would be taken back to the board. So they'll get the time they get by the time they deign to give us the information they deign to give us, apparently, right? I mean, I'm not going to cancel other plans I've already created just to have a meeting so I can talk about the things they're willing to share with us at some point. I don't understand this.
There's no sense that they're not going to share it with us. It just sounds like they wanted to review it with their board before they shared it with our board. There's no sense that he's hiding the information or something.
But it's all joint. I just don't understand why the information isn't being shared at the same time. I know they're not going to hide it, but I don't know why we're not having equal conversations at the same time and then sending that back through our representatives.
He wants the approval from his board on the data before he shares it with us. And I suppose
we just happen to be having a meeting the same day. We just happen to be having a meeting the same day. If our meeting was tomorrow, we probably would know what they decided and we'd have the information.
Yeah, I feel like if Nathan was doing like that, it would be the same. He would want us to approve of whatever he was doing before he presented it to an outside agency.
We're not an outside agency. That's my whole point. Aren't they using our personnel data to put together their numbers and using their numbers to put together their numbers? I mean, it's all of our stuff. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean,
anyway, let's find a date. Sorry.
Well over a year. So we're just going to wait a little bit longer. And it is getting down to the wire, which is frustrating.
So maybe our special board meeting should be about integration, and then we can save long-term care for the board meeting. One of them has to be decided beforehand and discussed beforehand, because otherwise we're going to have the longest board meeting ever on the 28th, and it'll be the 29th before it's over.
I mean, that's an option. We could just have the longest board meeting ever.
No.
I'd rather get the information, but will we have the information about integration and time to have something? Or I mean, I'm happy to have the longest board meeting ever on the 28th if that's what we have to do, because people don't want to do a, but I'm also willing to have another meeting to make some decisions about each of these, because I get too tired and then I just make some random decision because I want to go to bed.
I don't want the, you know, the fire chief and the fire chief catch all the flack over this. Norvin has shared with me his plan. We went over it. He wanted to get his board to look at it. It's coming. It's really just literally the last few days that we've got to where we need to be. We lost the entire month of August. We thought we had till the end of August. But even the implementation plan says that the fire chief is going to lead this process, that, you know, this is the agency that he is going to be administering. And, you know, we wanted to see what his plan was. And I've given him all the information he wants, and we've communicated and talked constantly. And, you know, we now have, and we'll see the plan that he has. But I never could make him, and shouldn't be able to make the fire district do anything. This is their proposal for what they want to do for an integrated service, based on the input and discussions that we've had. And it's a substantial set of information, and it's what you asked for. It's budgets, it's wages, it's benefits, it's org chart, it's everything you asked for. They've complied with our requests, and they're providing that information.
Can I just say, I'd like to throw out, I would prefer Wednesday the 21st. I can't do Thursday the 29th. We're having a meeting. I don't want the longest board meeting ever. That's my vote, because I'm just like Gail. I get too tired. I'd much rather start our meetings earlier. Later is very hard for me. And to think clearly. So, you know, I'm just going to throw out, I prefer the 21st, just as one fifth of this group.
Do we have time on the 20th? Does everyone have availability on the 21st? Does 3:00?
Yes. And Everett, you don't leave until the 23rd, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. You're on there on the 21st. Okay.
Yes. I'm available the 21st.
3:00 on the 21st.
Okay.
I'd prefer after the work day.
Five would be better for me too.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I don't care. Five is fine. I'm just throwing out. 5 p.m. 5 p.m. on the 21st. Wonderful. Thank you, everybody. Special board meeting.
I will. Gail and Trish, we need to meet later this week if possible to go over what we have.
Okay. And
hopefully we get that to the board so they can at least look at that. And the last component is the price for an acquisition if we go that route.
Right. Okay.
Well, look, we've made it through our agenda. Thank you all so much. And it looks like we just have executive session ahead of us.
Okay, yeah, different in executive session. Okay, I forgot about that one.
Is Beth trying to speak?
Public comment here at the end here.
Oh, yeah, is Beth laughing? Is that what that means?
I think it just was. There's some interference.
But we really don't have a lot of time. We had two audience participation sessions. Gail only got 10 minutes.
Okay.
Up to you. I have time if you want to wait.
Let's adjourn to our executive session. And how long do we think we need for that?
10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Okay, I can stay a little bit too. I can probably stay 10 minutes.
Okay. So we'll reconvene. Let's just assume at 5:15.
Okay.
Okay. Is there an invitation on the calendar for the executive session?
I'm sending it out right now. Steve, can you stay and monitor this feed? Because we do have quite a few people.
Yes, I'm happy to.
And maybe Beth, if she was trying to say something, could type something. Oh, there she is.
I have a bad connection. Oh. Oh, I don't know where it went.
Show conversation.
Okay. Did you?
I have a bad connection, but I do recommend the commissioners watch the video link I sent to Steve to send out to you all. Think outside the facility. Thank you, Beth.
Perfect. Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth.
Okay, I'll see you all in just a second here.
Beth, I'll send that out right now. Everett, you're still here with me.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're still in the regular meeting. Oh,
I'm still here. The official
I can't hear any of you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're in the you're not in the special meeting.
Yes. I followed the special meeting link.
Can't hear you.
I don't know. Maybe try it one more time. Oh, yeah. So you try. Yeah, there we go.
Can't hear you.
Go ahead. Trish, go ahead and leave this and try the other meeting.
I hear you.
You guys are connected to just the special meeting link. You need to see about trying to connect to the executive session.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. Okay, so this is weird. So I'm seeing Everett and Steve someplace else.
Yeah, you're in the wrong meeting. Trish.
You have two meetings open, probably. There's Everett.
Let me try this one. See you, bud. Beth, you just so full of shit. Hello, this is Steve Lomsgans. We are in an executive session.
You're muted. Looks like we nailed the time. It was exactly 5:15.
Welcome back to the executive session.
Thank you. I was just going to say how timely we were for the first time ever. thank you, everyone, for this your participation in our special meeting today. I'm going to adjourn the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners meeting. It is 5:15 p.m. and Steve and Nathan, thank you for your work and efforts. And see you next week, right? And we'll talk
next week. Yeah. That. By the way, I'm jealous at how easily you got everybody to agree to the date and time.
It's pretty easy when they're all right there. Yeah, so we did agree that that's 5 p.m. on the 21st.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we'll sort of
out. And then I do think we do need to focus on figuring out what we're doing for public meetings moving forward, because that is the one question I get the most from people. When are you going to be meeting in public again? So.
Okay.
If we can just provide audio, maybe that's something. But, hopefully we have some good information from the fire department after today, and excited to read all of these documents.
Thanks, Annalisa.
Thank you both so much. Have a great rest of your evening.
See you later.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Take care. So for the record, Steve, it's 5:16, and we need to stop the recording.